This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
Let me read this to you from Barry Jackson, okay? Because I talked at the beginning of the show about, you know, the Heat and what they have or haven't done. This is so very well written, in my opinion. Barry Jackson in the Miami Herald, okay? You can comment on this. Feel free whenever you want. He says, a Heat front office once considered the model for pro sports now faces a torrent of unrelenting criticism on social media, fans growing progressively more exasperated that management seemingly cannot land the tantalizing talent sorely needed to transform a pretty good team to a championship caliber one. Every morsel of news about Miami's rivals, the Knicks adding Mikal Bridges, the 76ers adding Paul George, only ratchets up the anger among a large chunk of Heat fans. It's easy to brush aside the sustained winning, three championships and seven finals appearances during 30 seasons under Pat Riley's stewardship. Social media has made this a what have you done for me lately world. And the fan base understandably is fixated on the team's inability to construct a roster with the talent to match the league's elite. I find this interesting, too, that today is the 14th anniversary of the big three coming together where LeBron, like, because Barry points it out there. This is a what have you done for me lately. But literally 14 years ago, they put together the greatest team ever assembled at that time.
And 7 years before that, they went and got Shaq and won the first championship. So he's figured it out through the years. And then now, and I think the misstep, and I've said it earlier, I've said it a number of times, was the Duncan and Hero, you know, contracts where you don't have money left and now you're under all this apron crap and luxury tax stuff and all that. But we, what was it, two years ago, was it, we lost in the finals to the Nuggets?
In the finals twice during Jimmy Butler. And by the way, they were able to get Jimmy Butler by pulling magic out of a hat because they weren't supposed to have any available assets to go get him.
2 years ago, we were the second best team in the NBA.
1 year ago.
So I'm even saying, what's that?
1 year ago. Like, that was last year's NBA.
Two seasons ago. But that's the thing. Like, I'm all with it. I'm not the social media upset guy. I would want us to go add pieces because now I see what the Knicks have done, what the 76ers have done. Like, you're seeing the East. We see that Boston's balling right now. We know that the Bucks will probably figure it out with Dame and Giannis. I'm right there with them. But the outrage of saying that it's been outdated, they were ahead of the curve on adding pieces.
You'd like to be able to do it every year, but no team is able to do that every year.
You can't. We laughed at DeMar DeRozan. He's going to Sacramento. When the hell are they going to win the game?
Sacramento's not bad. That's a decent team. And anyway, but here's
the last time they won something.
Here's what Barry Jackson writes, though. Take a step back and view. Here is some of the criticism that is warranted and some that isn't. And here's what's not warranted, at least from our perspective. And Barry is talking about his and the Miami Herald's perspective. Accusing the Heat of being cheap. The Heat had the seventh highest payroll in the NBA last season. Miami paid $15.7 million in luxury taxes, one of seven teams with a payroll that triggered the tax. Paying a tax prohibited Miami from dipping into the pot shared by non-tax-paying teams last season, which was $11.9 million per team for this past league year. Miami received none of that money, again, because they were in the tax. The Heat's current 2024-25 payroll would be the NBA's sixth highest per HoopsHype.com. With its current commitments, Miami would pay an $18 million tax next summer. If the Heat adds another $7 million in salary, which is quite possible, before the end of next season, the tax will be $38.9 million. Barry's pointing out, you can't, if for all the criticisms, you cannot accuse the Heat of being cheap, okay? Miami has paid, he writes, $68 million in taxes since the luxury tax was instituted. That's 13th most in NBA history, more than Denver's $58 million, more than the 76ers' $47 million. The issue is not whether the money is being spent. The question is whether it's being spent wisely. Barry writes on the next bullet point, calling this era of Heat basketball a failure, right? This is one of the things where he says criticism is not warranted. It's not. It's fair to blame the team for not taking the requisite steps to augment a roster that needs more talent, more offensive savants, more athleticism. But on balance, the results have been pretty good during the past 5 years with two finals appearances and three long playoff runs. The 2019 sign-and-trade for Jimmy Butler has yielded dividends beyond any reasonable expectations. Is this Heat era mildly disappointing to an extent? Yes, because there hasn't been a championship or a missing piece added to the core. But a failure? Absolutely not. Now, here's what Barry Jackson writes, are criticisms that seem valid. What happened to the front office that pounced on opportunities like ravenous sharks in the first 15 years of the Riley regime? Trades for Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, and Shaquille O'Neal, followed by the brilliantly executed plan to assemble the big three in the 21st century NBA. Wake up. The offseason is here. Respected ESPN analyst Zach Lowe said this week, in identifying the Heat and the Bucks as the two teams that have had the worst offseason so far. They haven't done much. They don't have any tools. It's kind of sad just to watch them stand in place. Again, that was Zach Lowe. The Heat, this is Barry Jackson, has assuredly tried, but it's a bottom line business. And this is the bottom line. During the past 2 years, seven teams have added players who were all-stars in the past 15 months. Boston, Drew Holiday. The Knicks, Jalen Brunson. The Bucks, Damian Lillard. Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell. Pacers, Pascal Siakam. Philadelphia, Paul George. Dallas, Kyrie Irving. The Heat's big acquisition this decade, Kyle Lowry, didn't approach all-star form here. Terry Rozier, who's never been an all-star but whose scoring was needed, came at the cost of a first-round pick that puts three future Heat first-rounders out of play in trade talks for NBA rules. And this, too, seems reasonable to ask. Where is the outside-the-box creativity we have seen from Panthers general manager Bill Zito, who courageously traded the team's most skilled scorer, Jonathan Huberto, plus defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, and a lottery-protected first-round pick for superstar Matthew Tkachuk in July of 22, one of many moves that helped catapult the Panthers to a championship? Where is the foresight to sell high on assets, as Zito did with Huberto and Weegar, and as Dolphins general manager Chris Greer did when he parlayed Laremy Tunsil into two first-rounders and a second-round pick? Where is the aggressiveness we've seen from other teams to pounce on assets that are being sold low such as the Celtics when they displayed that when they snagged Kristaps Porzingis in a deal that landed Washington modest returns. The Heat thrived in an era when teams squirreled away cap space and Miami could rely on the balmy winters, the lack of state income tax, and the organizations and Riley's cachet to add talent, just as it did in landing LeBron James and Chris Bosh. But when the 76ers signed George this past week, he became the first max-level player to change teams via free agency this decade. Teams that emerge from the pack now typically find top 10 caliber players in the draft, Boston with Jason Tatum, Denver with Nikola Jovic, Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo, or excel in collecting assets that can be parlayed into trades for all-star caliber players. The Heat has generally drafted well, Precious Achiuwa over Tyrese Maxey notwithstanding, and found a top 25 player in Bam Adebayo, but haven't landed a generational talent in the draft since Dwayne Wade in 2003. The bigger issue, though, is that the Heat hasn't mastered the asset management game, which has become critical to NBA success. It has consistently come up short in that regard this decade because the Heat never seems to have enough first-round draft inventory to offer in trades because they seemingly think more of their players than the rest of the league does. Because of first-round picks sent away in the Butler and Terry Rozier trades and protections that the Heat have requested on those picks, Miami can offer only one first-round pick in future trades, 2030 or 2031. That's not nearly enough to make competitive offers when top players become available in the trade market. In our view, the Heat's decision to keep Max Strus for the 2023 playoff run, even while knowing he likely couldn't be re-signed for cap or tax reasons, was justified because he contributed to a finals run. Same with Gabe Vincent. But if the Heat loses all four of its recent developmental players, Strus, Vincent, Caleb Martin, he writes Haywood Highsmith, but we know today that Haywood Highsmith is coming back. Without getting anything back, it's fair to ask if this was the best way to manage those four assets collectively. In the Heat's defense, Miami last week made a very strong offer to Caleb Martin that he rejected. Barry Jackson writes on and on. There have been opportunities, obviously, with Portland that didn't pan out. So he writes at the end, it's a very long column, and I encourage you to read it at the Miami Herald or herald.com. For the moment, the Heat seems in purgatory, unable so far to amass the assets needed to compete with the league's best, but unwilling to take a step back for hopes of a better tomorrow. This isn't a bad roster, and the Heat will remind you that it was finals team 14 months, that it was a finals team 14 months ago when Butler was playing at another worldly level and that his body might not allow him to replicate that. But being stuck in a play-in caliber team is an unsettling, discouraging predicament for a franchise that had set such a high bar. I think it's a fabulously written column by Barry Jackson because he touches on everything that are fair and unfair criticisms there. Hard to poke holes in what Barry writes there.
The thing that jumped out to me, and we argue about a lot on this show, is the Heat value their players more than the rest of the league does.
Yes. That's such a wise comment there. And by the way, it's not unwarranted. That's the funny thing, because they do excel here. But what if you did, as Barry's pointing out, sell high when the league maybe is valuing them more? And they swing for the fences, he's saying, like Bill Zito did. And it ends in a Stanley Cup championship. Now, you may end up with a strikeout and angry fans, but sometimes you got to go for a home run.
When Duncan set that record that beat Steph Curry's three-point percentage, that was a great time to get rid of him. When Tyler Hero won the Sixth Man of the Year, that was a great time to move on from him. Now they're eating up $50 million of the salary cap, and personally, I don't think those two players are worth $50 million. I really don't. I think it's 30 and 27 or something. It's over $50 million those guys are making between the two of them. Justified. Jimmy's money's justified. But that mid, those pseudo stars, I think they've missed on those. When in the past, we had some hellified pseudo stars. Our pseudo stars right now are really not stars.
We're going to talk about this in the 4 o'clock hour. I want to get Solana's take on it as well, because, again, I think it's an unbelievably well-written column by Barry Jackson. But we'll see what Solana thinks, because he's around the organization more than us. The 4 o'clock hour is coming up.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Go suck an egg.
Hawk and Crowder.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, I read you the Barry Jackson column. We talked about it a little bit, but I didn't give Solana a chance to share his opinion. I will state again, if you get the Miami Herald, or if you don't, you should, but you can read it at herald.com or the Herald app or in the actual newspaper. But I thought Barry Jackson's column on what criticisms of the Miami Heat are fair and which are unfair, I thought it was really right on. Curious what you think, Solana.
No, I thought Barry Jackson, as he usually does, nailed it. My biggest takeaway from, once again, I guess I could say, like, the vitriol that you're seeing on social media with the Miami Heat. First of all, I don't believe Heat Twitter speaks for the masses. I want to start there, because
yes,
a lot of people...
That's a good point to start with.
A lot of people, especially those of us who are constantly consuming that type of content on social media, get caught up. And a lot of the podcasts, too, a lot of the podcasters, who I love, by the way, they see people tweet in things about players and about the front office, and they take it as Bible, right? Like, they take it as this is what the fan base thinks. And I think it's very misleading when you're constantly crafting your content based off what 15-year-olds on Twitter are tweeting at you, first and foremost. But second of all, it's fine to be upset and frustrated with a lack of movement. But I also think a lot of people want movement for the sake, or trades for the sake of trade, for the sake of movement. They want to be a part of the Woj and the Shams bombs on the start of free agency because it's fun, because we all love that. But the Heat, this offseason specifically, which is what we talked about going into free agency, I cautioned Heat fans, be patient, because this isn't going to be what the Sixers are doing. This isn't going to be what the Bucks did last year, what the Heat tried to do last year. They don't have those options, unfortunately. And what I want to avoid, if I'm a Heat fan, on top of anything, is jeopardizing your future to go all in on something right now that isn't going potentially to wind up being what you want, which is making this team as good as some of the other contenders now in the Eastern Conference. And I think that's the route the Heat chose, which is patience now. They do like their team.
Let me read you a section of the Barry Jackson column that I didn't read in the last segment. Here's the other issue. Why would the Heat remain so committed to a core that went 40-39 when Butler, Adebayo, and Hero were healthy the past 3 years and lost 12 of its last 13 home games against good, healthy opponents? Why would the Heat remain so committed to this group when Butler exhibited clear decline in the basket area last season, often no longer resembling the elite player on display in 2022 and the 2023 playoffs?
It's a fair, it's totally fair. The Heat have kind of been selling us on Jimmy and Bam and Tyler Hero. And Barry hammered it home last year all season long, aside from the injuries. When those guys are healthy, the Heat don't compete against the top teams. They haven't been good against the top teams. So it's a fair question, and it's a fair criticism. But my question to the people who say blow it up is, then what? This front office has proven to you time and time again they will not blow it up.
He's suggesting you don't even have to blow it up. Swing for the fences. The Panthers didn't blow it up, right? He gives you the example of Bill Zito. Panthers didn't blow it up. They took a really good team, swung for the fences, and won a Stanley Cup.
I think it's comparing, and it's not an indictment on what the Panthers did, but I think it's comparing apples to oranges with trading Jonathan Huberto for Matthew Tkachuk, because in the National Hockey League, one player, as great as they may be, don't make the same impact that one player can make in the NBA. So the Heat, you could argue, have swung for the fences, and that has been what has actually put them in this situation. They've constantly waited, not for the whale, but for the biggest whale, for the blue whale, for the orca, the Kevin Durant's, the Damian Lillard's. And by doing so, that has hurt them. So they're not looking to just get mildly better. They're constantly holding on to a Tyler Hero. They're constantly holding on to a Duncan Robinson for what? To ultimately turn that into Kevin Durant. Well, they whiffed on that. They couldn't get in the room with him, or they just didn't have the assets to complete with Phoenix. They did the same thing last year with Damian Lillard. They've had the opportunities, or at least felt like they were going to have those opportunities to go land those players. It just hasn't worked out for them. So to say that they haven't swung for the fences, I think is wrong. They have, but they didn't have the proper assets needed compared to other teams to go and swing for the fences. They showed up with a wiffle ball bat, and the Phoenix Suns showed up with a college aluminum bat. And that's been the difference.
That's not swinging for the fences, though, if you show up with a wiffle ball bat.
But Solana, they put themselves in a situation where they don't have the assets.
But it's not necessarily true because you do have the assets. In other words, Barry Jackson saying, hey, think about trading Jimmy Butler. Think about trading Tyler Hero. Think about packaging Tyler and Dunk. Like, he's saying swing for the – don't try to make something out of nothing. Take your Jonathan Huberto, someone who's loved and turn him into Matthew Tkachuk.
And to that point, it's Bob, it's Ekblad, it's Tkachuk. But then there are the lower tier guys, the Montours, and there's the Lamborghinis. We love them. That's Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. It's the guys like that. I don't know why we're paying them $30 and $18 million a year.
I know.
Can move those guys to up. Those positions can be upgraded. Bam's an all-star. Jimmy's still there after his injuries. If he's healthy, Jimmy's a dog. Tyler and Duncan are not a third and fourth piece of a championship team.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I think we learned that about Tyler Hero. My biggest takeaway from that playoff series against Boston, Tyler Hero can be a starter. He can be a really good player on a good team. He can't be your third best player if you have actual championship aspirations. But when you're talking about those contracts that the Heat gave Tyler and that they gave Duncan Robinson, don't forget, those happened prior to this new CBA being implemented. So there was no way of the Heat knowing that there was going to be a first and second apron and that it would jeopardize them by giving them those deals, right? Like when the Heat signed Tyler Hero to that deal 3 years ago, nobody looked at it and said, oh my God, what a disgrace. No, you felt like Tyler Hero coming off as a rookie, 36 points in the Eastern Conference Finals, was going to develop into your third best player. If anything, you thought you got him at a bargain by having him opt into that extension. So, I mean, you could go back and forth with the Duncan thing all you want. I don't think that's keeping them from acquiring these assets or these star players. I mean, they just haven't been able, for whatever reason, to get back in that game, which they want to be in, which is whale hunting. They just haven't. And I'm not necessarily certain that trading Jimmy Butler is something that was even on the table until this season, until this offseason.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm going to the furthest extremes of right. Barry's column just for the sake of bringing them
but,
up.
But I think Pat Riley would consider it, Hawk. Like, I think Pat sure. Riley, if you told him, hey, you could go get Kevin Durant right now by trading Jimmy Butler, based on his comments, shut the hell up, Jimmy. Yes. I think he would yeah. consider it. But I don't think the conversations people are having on social media and the aspirations fans have for going and getting players, I don't think are realistic scenarios happening behind the scenes. And they just think it's as simple, like we get on the text line, trade for Kevin Durant, trade for Bradley Beal, trade for X player, and those aren't realistic scenarios. Like, you're just setting yourself up to be upset at a front office that doesn't have the opportunity to make those acquisitions with what they have right now. So be critical for where they're at, fine, but don't be critical of them whiffing on something they never actually had a chance to get.
But they have limited assets because they bought corn and lima beans and made succotash, and everybody else is buying filet mignon and making steak.
But you can't say they bought or they ate succotash, I don't know what that is, when they went to two NBA finals, three deep playoff runs. And by
Jimmy,
the way,
do you know what succotash is? I'm fascinated by you using succotash as a example, which is just delightful. I mean, this speaks to me and Q-Bert and Frogger. Jimmy, when's the last time you had succotash?
Never, but the last I heard that was Sylvester from Looney Tunes.
Yes, Sylvester from Looney Tunes, suffering succotash. Let's give that to DBJ. Suffering succotash.
Yes.
That's a great call, Jimmy.
It's corn and lima beans, right?
I don't think I've ever had succotash. I gotta see. Have you heard of it, Juana? Do you know what's? Have you heard of succotash?
I have no idea what succotash is. How do you spell
corn
that?
Corn and lima beans. It's like it's a side.
Succotash is a North American vegetable dish consisting primarily of sweet corn with lima beans. Look at that.
Yeah. Y'all never ate succotash?
When's the last time you've seen succotash?
I had succotash, I don't know, recently. Last couple months I ate some succotash.
Had to be homemade, though. You didn't see it at a restaurant.
No, it was some little country place. You know, I travel a lot, and I'll go to the mom and pops, and I saw succotash, and it, like, excited me. I'm like, man, I'm going to try some succotash.
Yeah, we have to give that to DBJ. Suffering succotash.
Yeah.
Sweet corn, lima beans, and other shell beans.
How about that?
Yeah, it's delicious.
I'm looking at a picture. I'm sorry. Two finals appearances in 5 years is not whatever the hell this dish is. Succotash. I'm sorry.
But KD is a fillet, and we're trying to get KD for Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero.
Well, what about the one of the other points that Barry Jackson made in the column, which is the Heat haven't landed a generational talent in the draft since Dwayne Wade in 2003.
But we speak about that with Pat Riley. He does not value those young guys.
But to go over two decades without finding a generational talent. Now, maybe that's because you're so good that you're picking so low all the time. I'd have to go back and compare that to other teams. Like, it's a very easy statement to write or to say, but I'd like to compare it with other winning teams and see if long-term success kind of means you're never going to hit a generational talent because you're always picking outside of the lottery.
I mean, there's very few teams who have truly built their rosters into championship teams.
Not talking about building roster, just hitting on a generational talent.
But after,
Jason Tatum was one of the examples he used.
Golden State as well. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, those were all drafted players. But, I mean, think about the Heat drafting Dwayne Wade in 2003. They were playoff teams outside of 2008 every season after that. Until the Big Three era. Then with the Big Three era, you literally traded all your first round picks. And after that, you were still a playoff team in 16, even after Bosch got injured. Like, the Heat have mismanaged their picks. And you could look at Justice Winslow, top 10 pick. They took him at 10. Devin Booker was a couple picks later. Like, I understand that criticism of, hey, the Miami Heat have proven to you they're really good at being able to maximize undrafted players, right? And develop the guys that they are drafting. Jaime Jaquez Jr. is a good example. Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, we could go down the list. So why aren't they prioritizing the NBA draft? And that's a fair criticism. That's a fair argument. But in order to do that, you have to tank. You have to commit to 2, 3, 4 seasons like the Sixers did, like the Oklahoma City Thunder did, to developing lottery picks. And do Heat fans truly want that? It's one thing to say tank, tank, tank. And it's another thing to live Oklahoma City's 6 to 7 year run where they were literally nothing. It's another thing to live like a Brooklyn Nets fan who is literally experiencing nothing. And when they do get something, it turns into nothing. It's easy to say tank until you're in the middle of a 3, 4 year window. And then part of it's luck. Part of it is, hey, you drafted the right guy. The lottery ball fell the right way. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way you wanted to. Look at the Sixers. Laughingstock of the NBA for, what, 8, 9 years? They had how many number one overall picks or lottery picks? And all they have to talk about from that, the process there, is Joel Embiid, zero. Zero times they made an Eastern Conference Finals. Zero times after all that suffering.
Didn't they draft a dude that forgot how to use his shoulders?
I think his shoulder fell off.
Oh, man. Markelle Fultz.
Great
His
call.
Shoulders quit working.
Let's get headlines here.
I just looked at Boston. Honestly, obviously, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart was in there. The rest of these names, the other 13, 14 names that I looked at, they're working. They're resource officers right now.
Well, you're going to get a – when I talk generational talent, that's going to come around maybe once every 10 years, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to look at who the generational talents are in the NBA, right? Giannis is a generational talent. So what did Milwaukee go through to get him, right? You have to look at who the real superstars are in the NBA and then figure out, okay – How often does that happen for a team, right? Because Memphis, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
John Morant.
Way?
John Morant. Like, what do you go through in order to get a John Morant? But there are generational talents in every draft. 21 years is a long time to go without.
Not necessarily.
I would argue
though,
that there's not generational talent in every draft.
No shot, man.
Really?
Look at this year. I mean, Zachary Risacher was a number one overall pick. Alex Sarr.
I would say this year is more of an outlier than most years. Because Victor Wembanyama, that's a generational talent, no?
Absolutely. Yes. But he was the most hyped prospect out of
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I that's what I'm saying. Like, look through each year, and I believe, I guess Zion, that was the Ja Morant year. So we'll say Ja Morant is the generational talent coming out of that season. I would suspect if you look at each year's draft, there's a generational talent in there somewhere, maybe more than one.
Quick, I just looked up Milwaukee. 2010, Larry Sanders, Jimmer Fredette, John Henson, Jabari Parker, who's decent, Rashad Vaughn, Thor Maker, DJ Wilson, Devontae DiVincenzo, Kevin Porter, RJ Hampton, Isaiah Todd. Then they snuck up one of those years on Giannis throughout that. Like, they didn't draft great. They won a championship, what, four years ago?
But I'm saying, like, once every 10 years. 21 years seems like a long time without a generational talent.
But, Hawk, just to your point, though, right, you talk about Anthony Edwards, generational talent in 2020. But, I mean, the Heat were in the finals that year. So
No. I'm with you. I'd rather have the finals appearance. I'm with you.
That, like, we forget how much fun that run was. And even,
I don't.
Even, you know, during the James Johnson, Dion Waiters era, right? Had I told you the Heat are going to turn this into Jimmy Butler, and then in 2023, they're going to go to the NBA Finals, and by doing it, they're going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks as an 8 seed and beat them in 5. They're going to beat the Knicks in the second round, and then they're going to beat the Celtics in 7.
I take it every time.
And you're going to lose in the NBA Finals, but it's going to be one of the greatest runs you've ever experienced as an NBA fan. You're telling me people don't sign up for that? When you're going through James Johnson and Deion Waiters?
It's the 97 Marlins to me. When people go, oh, they sold off the team after that. I don't care. I got that 97 season and then the World Series. I'll take that every single time. By the way, I would like to point out Thon Maker would have been better if his name was Thor.
Thor, yeah.
Thor Maker. I just looked at the first picks of the draft. I'm leaning more towards Hawk now, Solana. 2010, John Wall, then Kyrie Irving, then Anthony Davis, and Anthony Bennett.
I mean, there's always going to be a couple of generational talents. I do think this year's draft was an outlier.
Carl Anthony Towns, Simmons, Ayton Williamson, who's a bust, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham, Banchero, Wembanyama, and then Rochashera, whatever his name is.
Yeah, you got it.
His name's not Thor.
No, but he would have been. That's one of my arguments. Like Thon Maker, kind of cool. Thor Maker. Oh,
mom messed him up at birth.
So close. So close, Mrs. Maker.
There is great talent in every draft, but you in order to get the number one overall pick and ensure you're getting the best of that talent, the generational guy, there's
I wouldn't look at the number one picks. I would look at the generational talents who went 9, 10, 11, and there probably are some.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, Giannis Antetokounmpo, like there are guys who fall within the cracks. There's no
Tom Brady. You can't mention low round draft picks that turn out to be stars without saying it. It's just as required. That's part of my contract.
Forever.
Yeah.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.